is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Have you broken your New Year's resolutions yet? I mean, it's January the 2nd. I think I'm on the verge of breaking mine already. I resolved that I was going to be back on the treadmill more. I was going to drink less Coke Zero, and I have a Diet Coke right here in my hand. It's already broken. Oh, well. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, but I can tell you one New Year's resolution that I'm going to keep, and that is that Albert Mohler is going to be back behind this microphone very, very quickly. For those of you who don't know, Dr. Mohler is in the hospital. He had an abdominal pain taking place over the Christmas holidays and had to have surgery, removing some scar tissue, some complications from a surgery that he had actually back in the 1980s. He's doing fine, he's recuperating, but he's in a lot of pain, and he is ready to get out of the hospital. Albert Mohler is not the kind of man who enjoys laying in a bed with an IV in his arm. He is ready to be back on the move. So you be praying for him that he will be back here very, very quickly. Be praying for a speedy recuperation for him and for his family as they minister to him right now and get him well. And he'll be here before we know it. You know, it's the first show of 2007. Ordinarily, Dr. Mohler and I get together at the end of every year and kind of look at the year past and look at some challenges and some trends coming up in the year to come. And since he was in the hospital, we didn't get to do it. I had hoped that we would not only be able to do that show, but that we would be able to go back and to look at the predictions that we made for 2006 and see who was right. I don't even remember what I predicted for 2006, but I'm sure it wasn't what actually took place. I think I've been predicting the death of Fidel Castro for about the last 6 years on this program. So I'll go ahead and predict that again this year. Maybe that will happen this year. But we're going to talk about 2007 challenges facing particularly Christians, facing the church in 2007. And I want you to join the conversation. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What do you think is going to be particularly challenging for Christians in the year 2007? And joining me today on the program will be Marvin Olasky, who is the editor of World Magazine, sharing with us what he sees coming down the pike in the new year to come. So we should have an interesting conversation today about the new year. But first, in the news today, the funeral of former President Gerald R. Ford. It's really a moving thing to watch. I don't know how many of you were able to see the broadcast this morning, but it was quite a ceremony honoring a man for his integrity, for his leadership at a very difficult time in the country's history. I think probably the most striking of all of the eulogies was that of former President George Bush. And President Bush's eulogy, it had moments of great levity, such as this.
He had a wonderful sense of humor. And even took it in stride when Chevy Chase had to make the entire world think that this terrific, beautifully coordinated athlete was actually a stumbler. And Ford says it was funny. He wrote that in his memoir. I remember that lesson well, since being able to laugh at yourself is essential in public life. I'll tell you more about that, but as Dana Carvey would say, nagging to do it wouldn't be prudent. Now,
but he also had some moments of great seriousness, keeping in mind that George Bush was CIA director under the presidency of Gerald Ford, and he kind of fit, I think, very beautifully where the former president fit in the life of the nation. Listen to this.
It is plain to see how the hand of Providence spared Jerry in World War II and later against two assassination attempts. And for that we give thanks. It is just as plain to see how the same hand directed this good man to lead a life of noble purpose, a life filled with challenge and accomplishment, a life indelibly marked by honor and integrity. And today we give thanks for that too. May Almighty God bless the memory of Gerald R. Ford, keep him firm in the hearts of his countrymen, and may God bless his wonderful family.
I think we can all join former President Bush in that prayer. It really was remarkable to see today. I think not so much the legacy of President Ford, but his family. The fact that all of his children are there honoring and respecting the memory of their dad. The fact that the children stood there in the Capitol Rotunda greeting visitors as they came through when President Ford was lying in state. I think it is really a testimony to a man who not only was a significant political force in the 1970s and before that on the Warren Commission and in various other roles as House Minority Leader and so forth, but also a man who was a dad and who was a husband. And we should be in prayer for the Ford family today. 2007, what is coming down the way? What do we see on the horizon? And what should we be praying about and looking for in the new year? Marvin Olasky, who is the editor of World Magazine, will be joining me, and I am very glad to have Dr. Olasky here. He is a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin and is also the editor-in-chief of World Magazine, which is the fourth most read news weekly in the United States. It is from a Christian biblical perspective and is a fascinating magazine. If you don't subscribe to it or if you don't read it, you should. You would find some very interesting material in World Magazine every single week. And I am very glad to have Dr. Olasky with us. Dr. Olasky, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
What surprised you in 2006?
I think we're beginning to see. It's not a new great awakening, but it's a new great respecting. In other words, awakenings are dramatic changes in religious belief. Respectings are appreciations of the power of religious belief that come without necessarily a spiritual change within the appreciator. In other words, you know, when George Whitefield and John Wesley and others preached in the 1730s and tens of thousands turned to Christ, that was a great awakening. When, say, Dwight Eisenhower in the 1950s said that it'd be good to worship at the church of your church, any choice, but religion was generally a good thing, that's a great respecting. And, you know, how do we deal with that? Today, it's interesting, this year, and we're having a story about it on the issue that we're working on right now for World, Democratic presidential candidates and leaders in Congress, they're all hiring religious outreach advisors.
Yes.
And they're insisting that they're not pro-abortion. You know, and that's very good in a lot of ways if there actually are some actions to back up those words. But in a way, it's a great respecting. They respect the power of religious voters, the electoral power of religious voters. Some of them may have beliefs, some of them may not. But, you know, how do we deal with that? I mean, do we just relish it? If so, how do we really bring forth, emphasize the distinctives of Christ at a time when there's, you know, a general respect, but not necessarily any belief?
So you're arguing that this great respecting may actually make it more difficult to preach the gospel.
In some ways. And I think when we look back at the 1950s, I mean, here was an era when there was a general respect for Christianity. But I think if you look at the actual professions that took place, the actual serious grapplings with the claims of Christ, it wasn't as good a decade as people tend to make out now. So this is hard. But, you know, it cuts other ways, too. One of the big problems, obviously, we're going to have this year concerns Iraq, and what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reading yesterday while watching one of the football games an article by a fellow, John Agresto. He's a neoconservative, so he's not one of the liberal critics of the war, but he's a neoconservative who went to Baghdad to try to rebuild Iraq in 2003 and 2004. And here's the conclusion he came away with, and I've just been thinking about this today and trying to write a column in connection with it. Here's what he said, quote, "We acted as if democracy were natural. Just get rid of the tyrant, hold elections, and look at democracy. We acted as if democracies are easy. Sorry, tyranny is easy, democracies are hard. And one reason they're hard to bring about is, and here's what Agresto was writing, not all religions have the same view as we do of peace, of brotherhood, or of justice." So here in the United States, I mean, we, as American Christians, we've made our peace with pluralism. Muslims generally have not.
You know, it's very interesting, Dr. Olasky, when you see, for instance, the demonstrations at the hanging of Saddam Hussein in Dearborn, Michigan, of Muslims. I mean, Islam is a force to be reckoned with in the United States of America, not just in Europe and, of course, in the Middle East.
Yeah, it really is. Now, in the United States, I mean, I have Muslims in my classes at the University of Texas, and for the most part, they are you know, not like Middle Eastern Muslims. I mean, they
right.
understand and have grown up in American culture.
Right.
But still the question is, I mean, with them, with others, I mean, I'm quoting, let me quote you something more from Agresto. He says, we desperately kept looking for the supposed moderates among the clergy in Iraq. Moderate as compared to what? You know, we believe that God wants everyone to enjoy equal rights. Our beliefs are not shared
mm-hmm.
by people in Islam. How do we deal with that? We can't just assume they're like us. They're really not in many ways.
Well, as a matter of fact, tomorrow there will be more controversy when a new congressman raises his hand to take the oath of office, and the other hand will be on a Quran. The rise of Islam and other issues coming forward for Christians in the year 2007. What do you think? What do you think we ought to be looking for, watching for, praying about for the new year? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Join the conversation, a new year. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Sweep up the confetti. It's a new year, January the 2nd, 2007. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is recuperating from surgery and will be back very, very soon. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and today we're talking about the year to come. 2006 had a lot of surprises in it. Democrats took over the United States Congress, Mark Foley scandal, all kinds of things. Who could have predicted these things a year ago? What are we going to be talking about at the end of 2007? What particularly are you hoping will happen in 2007? What are you fearing will happen in 2007? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. I have on the line Dr. Marvin Olasky, who is the editor of World Magazine, talking with me today about what we ought to be looking for in the new year to come. Dr. Olasky, you mentioned before the break about the presidential campaign. I think it's really interesting the way that religion is playing into the presidential campaign that has already begun. Mitt Romney will be filing papers tomorrow, news reports tell us, to start his presidential exploratory committee. And already he's on the cover of the New Republic this week dealing with his Mormonism, the fact that he's a member of the Church of Latter-day Saints. And that's going to be a big issue in the year to come. How do you think these conversations are going to go in the year 2007?
Well, that's going to be very big, and certainly evangelicals have lots of questions about that and how that plays out in his thinking. The presidential campaign will be big. Sam Brownback is a very interesting candidate. I spent some time with him last month. He went to prison, the famous Angola prison, the Louisiana State Penitentiary,
mm-hmm.
and spent a lot of time talking with prisoners about religion and so forth. I mean, that's a prison in which apparently 40% of the 5,000 prisoners are now born again,
mm-hmm.
Because the, Al Mohler's leadership among Southern Baptists, one of the fellow seminaries in New Orleans Baptist Seminary,
yes.
Has a program with several hundred of the inmates there have gotten their degrees by correspondence course from New Orleans Seminary,
right.
And they're actually now allowed to go from that prison to other prisons in Louisiana as kind of missionaries. I mean, they're in there for life sentences, but they can go to another prison for 2 years and teach the prisoners there. So, you know, that's going to be big. There are already court battles about what Christians can do in prisons, whether there can be, there's a battle involving Chuck Colson's prison fellowship program in Iowa. You know, these will be important things. You have such a level of recidivism with criminals when they do get out committing new crimes. And there are Christian programs in prisons in Iowa and Louisiana and Texas and other places that have proven to be very successful at reducing the rate of recidivism, decreasing the number of crimes. And now you have people who are taking those programs to court to try to stop them because of the fear that some of these inmates are going to become Christians. It's just, that's the worst thing that can happen to them.
Well, that's interesting that you mention this, because that is an issue that Sam Brownback is highlighting, along with AIDS relief in the third world,
mm-hmm.
third world debt relief. There's some people who are saying that the religious right is muted in 2007 and 2008. The fact that John McCain and Rudy Giuliani are now the front runners. Do you think we've
right.
really seen the end of the religious right, at least in the way that we've known it in the past?
Well, if you look at the religious right as purely being concerned with, let's say, issues such as gay marriage and so forth, then yeah, I think it's going to become broader than that. And I hope in that process we don't lose the biblical emphasis on marriage between a man and a woman. But, you know, there are lots of other things that we probably haven't given sufficient attention to. For example, you can't go through the Bible very far without seeing all the verses, all the sections about poverty and the importance of Christians to be involved in that. If the religious right has not been identified with that issue, and I don't think it has been, that's been a big mistake.
I agree, but I also am worried sometimes that the religious right is going to highlight so many positions that aren't clearly defined biblically.
Mm-hmm.
So that, for instance, particular prescriptions for poverty, particular prescriptions to deal with climate change and so forth, in a way that really mutes and evacuates the message.
No, I agree. If we try to become experts in climate change and say there is a particular biblical position on climate change, then we open ourselves up to ridicule. Clearly in the Bible we see that we're supposed to be stewards of the earth that God's given us, but how exactly we do that, what's the best way to do that, that's something that requires, you know, great wisdom and thoughtfulness that the typical clergyman or the typical editor of a magazine doesn't have.
It is 2007, and I am wondering, what do you see coming? Particular challenges for Christians in the new year? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe there's some things, particularly in your community, that you're seeing that are going to be challenging for your church, for your family in the year to come. What are some trends that you see coming that you think we ought to be thinking about and preparing for the year to come? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. Dr. Olasky, in 2006, religious denominations, Christian denominations, were really in the headlines a lot. A lot of times having to do specifically with sexuality issues. What do you see happening in the new year when it comes to these mainline denominations that are at each other's throats over issues of women in ministry, homosexuality, and so forth?
Well, the drama of the Episcopalian Church is clearly going to continue. That doesn't require much of a crystal ball. Churches all over the place are splitting from the denomination, and you know, coming under the supervision of bishops from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's going to continue. I mean, the Episcopalian Church is shattered, and there will be a new Anglican Church in the United States, and there'll be the remnants of the Episcopalians. That's clear. But in a way, that whole question of coming under the authority of African bishops points to another big development this year and in the coming years: the increasing southernness of the Church. And
mm-hmm.
by that, I don't mean just the you know, the Bible Belt in the United States,
right?
But the center of gravity moving to Africa and South America and Asia. Last June, I spent some time in China, and you know, we had a cover story with the headline "Wildfire," because
mm-hmm.
that's the way the church is spreading there. There are probably at least 100 million Christians in China right now,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the authorities don't know what to do with it. There's a rule of thumb essentially that churches, when they get to be more than 50 or 60, maybe 70 people, the authorities will come in and say, "You're getting too big."
Mm.
And the churches say, "Okay, that's fine. We'll split." They split in half, and then a couple months later, each one of those halves has 50 or 60 or 70 people. So it's just growing like crazy, and not just in rural areas among poor people, but among the urban elite, the CEOs of companies. I met and interviewed a number of those folks, and it's just phenomenal, the change that's occurring there. And the Communist Party doesn't know what to do with it. They need that economic growth that those CEOs are providing, but at the same time, they want to discourage Christianity. They don't know what to do. They are stuck. And this will be a fascinating story to see how the leaders in China react to the growth of Christianity.
We're running out of time, Dr. Olasky, but I'm really interested in your thoughts on pop culture coming up. You know, we've had the explosion of YouTube and blogging. Do you really see anything else out there in 2007 that's going to change the way we dialogue?
Oh, that's going to continue, and Christians will be involved in that. There'll also be some Christian movies coming out that'll be interesting. A movie next month on William Wilberforce,
mm-hmm.
the great English reformer who stopped the slave trade and led to the end of slavery in the British Empire. That'll be out. There'll be others too.
Thank you, Marvin Olasky. Talking about 2007, I want to talk to you. What do you see coming in the year to come? What do you hope is going to happen in 2007? What do you fear is going to happen in 2007? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. It's a new year. What challenges are facing Christians in 2007? Join the conversation, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Bet you're still writing 06 on those checks. It's 2007 now, and we're talking about what is facing the church, what's facing Christians in the new year. And I want to hear from you. What do you hope will happen in 2007? What do you fear will happen in 2007? What are some trends that you see that the church really needs to be on guard or looking forward to even in the new year? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have on the line Gene, who is listening on WPIT in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Gene, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I guess I just have a hope for the new year in that all of us traditional Christians maybe realize the forces behind some of these mega churches. They, you know, you've seen them in the media. We've heard about them from friends. Only preaching the gospel of success, money, and prosperity, not, you know, almost idealizing the self and not really preaching the true gospel of Jesus.
Okay. So you're not speaking of mega churches themselves, but mega churches that are preaching prosperity gospels.
Right.
Yeah. So you're hoping we'll see the reduction of that or the downfall of that in 2007.
Yeah, because I don't believe that the stronghold, the foundation, is there.
Yeah.
There is no true Christianity in that you're only trying to see yourself do as much as you can in this life,
And
you can have heaven here on earth, and Don't worry about the afterlife. You can have heaven on earth.
Yeah. Well, Gene, I can join you in that. I hope that we do see more and more churches, mega churches, medium-sized churches, small churches that are preaching the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and less of this smiley-faced prosperity gospel. I agree with that. As a matter of fact, you can't even go into, not just a Christian bookstore, can't even go into a Barnes & Noble or a Borders bookstore without seeing health and wealth prosperity gospel teachers all over the place. I listened on the drive back from my parents' house in Mississippi to a broadcast of This American Life on PBS, on National Public Radio, about Carlton Pearson, the heretic in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who denies the reality of hell and is preaching universalism. And this secular radio broadcast, this secular radio broadcaster, identified the fact that Carlton Pearson's universalism was really just the extension of a prosperity gospel that he'd been preaching all along. I thought that was very interesting, and I agree. I hope we see more and more churches that are preaching salvation through Christ, less and less gospel light, less and less prosperity gospel nonsense. What do you think? What should we be looking for in 2007? What are some challenges that you think will be facing the church specifically in 2007 in a new year? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Derek on the line calling from Bloomington, Illinois. Derek, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, I just wanted to say that evangelicals this year and next year are going to really have to consider if they're going to vote for Mitt Romney, if he does run and if he is in the primaries. I personally couldn't vote for a Mormon just because they claim to have they have a claim of truth, and they claim to be the true Christian church with the true Christian gospel, and I don't want to misrepresent call any bad reputation on the gospel.
So, Derek, would you vote for anyone who is not a born-again Christian for president of the United States, or just specifically not a Mormon?
I would, but I wouldn't vote for someone that claims to have the true Christian gospel.
Well, you know, Derek's call really reflects a lot of concern, not just among Christians, but among secularists, too. I mentioned with Marvin Olasky that the cover story in the New Republic this week is about Mitt Romney and about his Mormonism, and the author of the article argues you ought not to vote for Mitt Romney because the Latter-day Saints Church claims to have direct revelation from God. I think that's something that Christians are going to have to weigh and to consider. We've discussed this issue on this program, and, you know, it's a more difficult issue than one might first think. How are Christians going to vote in 2008? What if you have a Mormon candidate who's pro-life and pro-family, and a candidate who is pro-abortion rights, anti-family, but who claims to be a born-again Christian? What's going to happen? That will make for an interesting time of discussion and debate. What do you see coming down the pike in 2007? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe you see some trends, maybe in your own neighborhood, in your own place of life, where you see some trends coming that you think we ought to be thinking about as Christians for the year to come in 2007. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Moeller, and this is the Albert Moeller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Moeller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Moeller, who is probably lying in a hospital bed saying, "What in the world is that bumper music?" Well, it's James Brown, who passed away, of course, at the very end of 2006. All kinds of obituaries in 2006 of very prominent figures who probably thought that they would be living for years and years to come. 2006 was their last. All kinds of things headed down the road in 2007. Things none of us could predict. No one knows but God. But I want to ask you, what do you see coming for evangelicals, for Christians in 2007? Things that we ought to be worried about, things that we ought to be grateful for, things we ought to be hoping and praying for. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. This is 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Moeller, who is recuperating from surgery. Keep praying for him today, right now. And this is the Albert Moeller Program. We have Gary on the line, who is calling from hometown of former President Gerald Ford, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Gary, welcome to the Albert Moeller Program.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, we've got a big funeral going up here today.
Oh, yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
I just want to say that I see a lot of people, and even including myself, sometimes focusing on, you know, the things of the earth and, you know, thinking that they're finding happiness through those things, and not realizing that, you know, true happiness comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's very hard to talk to somebody that has a lot of things, is a non-Christian, and to explain to them and get them to understand about a relationship with Jesus when you have things and when you, you know, so-called have been blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's very hard to do that. I have friends that have lots and lots of things, but their relationship, I think, could, you know, there isn't one, a relationship with Jesus, or it could be much better.
Yeah.
And I just find that very much a trend as we are a consumer society, and so that's basically the message.
Yeah, Gary, I think you're right about that. I think there also is a counter trend to that. I see more and more Christians who at least are starting to ask the question. Maybe there's not yet an action plan, but at least the question is being asked, how do you live in American society without just falling into consumer palooza? I hope that conversation continues and it heightens in the year 2007 as people have to sit around, and not in a censorious, pharisaical kind of way where we sit around and kind of go through inventories of what the other has, but instead just asking, how do I make sure that I live my life in 2007 in a way that communicates to myself, to my family, to my children, that what Jesus told us is true. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And that may relate back to Gene's call earlier, hoping and praying that the prosperity gospel falls. I'm afraid that we have a prosperity gospel, not just in the kind of Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, so forth, TBN, gospel out there, but also in a lot of our churches where we just don't think about it. We just assume that prosperity is what we ought to be looking for, the way to go. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What are some challenges that you see coming down the road for Christians in the year 2007? Things that maybe you're worried about in the new year. Maybe some things that you're hoping for in the new year. Maybe in your own personal life. Maybe in the big picture of the world at large. What do you see coming down the pike for the churches, for the church itself? You know, we talked with Marvin Olasky about popular culture and some of these technologies. I think that some of these things that are coming down the road that we don't even really see on the radar screen yet may affect us in the year 2007 in some surprising ways. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What are some challenges that you see coming in 2007? Maybe you've got some predictions. Maybe you think there are some things the church is going to be facing that maybe we're just not paying enough attention to right now. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You know, who could have predicted this time last year that tomorrow there's going to be a new Speaker of the House and she would be a Democrat from San Francisco. Nancy Pelosi will be assuming the speakership of the United States House of Representatives tomorrow. As of tomorrow, both the House and the Senate will be held by Democratic majorities. That's going to change a lot of things. That will change a lot of the dynamic in Washington, D.C. when it comes to issues like Iraq, when it comes to issues like immigration, when it comes to issues of religious liberty. Who knows? Maybe John Paul Stevens will retire this year. Maybe President Bush will appoint another Supreme Court justice. What's that going to look like with Patrick Leahy as chairman of the Judiciary Committee? I mean, these are things that are completely different from the landscape this time last year. What are some things you see coming down the road? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that the church can be holier this time next year? If so, what's it going to take? What's it going to take in 2007 to make Christianity, American Christianity, more of a force for the cause of Christ in North America and around the world? What will it take? You know, we have personally our New Year's resolutions. What's a resolution for the church at large? What's a resolution for all of us so that we don't end the year as a group of people seen really by the rest of the culture as ineffective, hypocritical, and in some ways outdated? How do we change that? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What do you see coming? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but we can see some trends out there. We can know what we're praying about. We can know what we're hoping for. What do you see? 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK, the new year 2007, what is coming down the pike? You know, I think Marvin Olasky was right when it comes to the mainline denominations. I think you're going to have more and more splintering on these issues of sexuality. I think you're going to have the Episcopal Church in as much crisis at the end of 2007 as it was at the end of 2006, maybe even more so. Maybe we'll begin to see a ray of hope as some of these churches begin moving out of the main line and into something else, something biblical, something authentic, something new. But what about your church? What about your community? What about your life? What do you see coming down the road facing Christianity in 2007? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and my New Year's resolutions, they're not faring well. As a matter of fact, this Diet Coke is now drained, gone, so my caffeine resolution is gone, and you know what? On the way home, I just desperately want one of those big 44-ounce size Diet Cokes, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to remain strong. New Year is here. What do you see coming down the road in 2007 facing the church? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Les on the line, who is listening right here in Louisville, Kentucky, on WFIA. Les, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you, Dr. Mark.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I was hearing to your comment just before the break about what we thought it, what I thought it would take for the church to really make an impact this year. I think that people need to, I guess it's a challenge more than anything, that people need to bring their talents and skills out of the workplace back into the church. Regarding business, business minds around the country that are Christian, people that are involved in technology, teachers, educators, all across the board, musicians. I think that there's too many people that are just attending church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think politically, technologically, business-wise, it would just advance so much that people would just stop at just attending church and really put their efforts and their talents toward building the church this year.
Well, Les, I think that's an important point. And I think you do have a lot of people who have been gifted in all kinds of ways who are just coming in, sitting in pews and leaving and going back to their jobs. And perhaps they're putting 100% into their jobs, but not in a way that really focuses on the way that God's given us a priesthood of all believers. He has said that the church is made up of many members, of many individual parts that all work for the edification of the church. And maybe that is a very good way to end this conversation, to think about the fact that when we focus on 2007, our primary focus ought not to be necessarily on the nation or on the culture, even though those things are very important. Our number one focus and prayer for the new year ought to be on the church. How is it in 2007 you're going to give yourself over more and more, not only to your own personal sanctification, not only to walking more and more with Christ, but more and more to the church, to the brotherhood, to the sisterhood, to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to making sure that when the culture and when the world looks and says, yeah, what's the kingdom of God look like? That they look and see our local churches. And when they see our local churches, what they see is a hope, not just for a new year, but a new age, a new era, a new covenant. A new creation, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2006 is gone. 2007 is coming. Are we ready for it? This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mueller. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmueller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.